How can you tell when someone is suicidal? Depression that leads to suicide is not just the plight of the financially strapped person, or the unemployed provider for a household, or the teen who is tormented by bullies, or the retiree who is weary of declining energy and escalating bodily pain. Just ask the friends of Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain. Spade, 55, renowned fashion designer, took her life in the spring of 2018 in her New York apartment. Days later, they found Bourdain, 61, a celebrity chef and host of an award-winning TV show, dead from suicide in his hotel room in France. These celebrity cases shine a bright spotlight on a significant rise in suicide rates. For example, in 2016, nearly 45,000 people in the United States took their own lives. From the years 1999 to 2016, the suicide rate rose 28%. In 2015, compared to 2008, almost twice as many children were hospitalized for attempts at or contemplation of suicide. Among girls aged 10 to 19, between the years 2010 and 2016, suicide rose by 70%. To help prevent suicide among people we know and love, it is important to know what to look and to listen for. I've gleaned these following 9 warning signs from 2 sources in addition to my own observation. Sarah Klein wrote 8 Signs Someone Is at Risk for Suicide, and Odyssey has an article, 13 Signs Someone Might Be Suicidal. Diagnosis of depression or bipolar disorder. Chronic depression, diagnosed by a professional, is not the only cause of suicide. An emotional overreaction to a tragic loss may spawn an impulsive decision to end one's life, but a person with enough depression to receive an actual medical diagnosis is more prone to consider suicide as an alternative to the recurring pain. A second sign, suicidal talk. When someone tells you he is thinking of harming himself or does not want to live, intervene. Do not assume he's exaggerating how he feels. Pray with him. Do not leave him alone. Get him help, even if it means risking the friendship. Call the National Depression Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. Or ask a counselor you know for ways to assist this vulnerable person. A third indicator, escalation of guilt feelings or anxiety. Listen for remarks about letting people down all the time or a pattern of self-condemnation for past mistakes. Be especially alert if such a verbal pattern is accompanied by increased agitation, anxiety, restlessness, or insomnia. A fourth way to determine if someone is suicidal is social isolation. Persons more vulnerable to suicide disengage from their normal spheres of relationships, cutting themselves off from typical conversations with family and friends. The next indicator, risky behavior. Driving more recklessly, picking fights, imbibing more alcohol, or starting drug use may reveal less interest in living. Suicidal people simply take more risks. The next thing to look for to determine if someone is suicidal is they're obtaining a weapon. This is a red flag when combined with a couple of other symptoms I've listed, particularly if the person does not have an apparent need for a gun. The reason men are twice as successful as women in their suicide attempts is that males are more likely to use a firearm. The next thing to look for concerning suicidal tendency: declining health. Factors that prompt suicide in older age groups include physical limitations, for example, more pain and fatigue, regrets over estranged relationships or unmet goals in life, the loss of a spouse, retirement from meaningful employment, or loss of one's home or independence. Adults ages 45 to 64 have the highest suicide rate in the U.S., 19.6%, followed closely by those over 85, 19.4%. Those most vulnerable will exhibit one or more of the other warning signs as well. Another thing to look for is internet searches. People who plan their suicide attempts often research the internet for ways to kill themselves. Many families have found such a web browsing history after a loved one took his own life. Another thing to be sensitive to is giving away prized possessions. A person plotting his own demise may start giving away items that have been important to her, especially those that are most expensive. If you see yourself in any of these indicators, please don't give up. Think of those who love you, not of the pain you are trying to escape. Ask God to sustain you through the pain, rather than model for loved ones that suicide is a valid way to escape the pain. In one sense, dying is easy. It's living that's sometimes hard. Are you willing to do the hard thing for the sake of those who would hurt over your passing, and for the sake of future ministry God may have for you? Believe me, I know experientially what despair and hopelessness are like. But I also know that dawn follows the night, that sorrow does not last forever, that God enables and uses a person even when he doesn't remove all depressive episodes. Will you preach this verse to yourself, as I have done scores of times? It's Psalm 42:5. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. This is Terry Powell. My blog on depression and faith is penetratingthedarkness.com. And I am a retired professor of church ministry at Columbia International University. I still teach here in South Carolina as an adjunct and maintain my blog and work on some book projects. The latest book I've been privileged to co-author is Oh God, I'm Dying, a true story of our CIU president and how he handles pain daily after a near-fatal auto crash 24 years ago. You will discover a lot about God's means of grace when he doesn't take away chronic pain.